My granny, Abner, I believe that's our ring.
I know his Lama, I believe you're right.
And I'll see. Hello, jot him down, store. This is Lama Abner.
No? Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, the old fellows are happily engaged in playing nursemaid to their foundling baby. Lum's joy is dimmed only by the fact that Abner will not agree to calling the baby little Lum, while Abner's happiness is marred by matters of graver concern. He still has heard nothing from Elizabeth, his missing wife, and he's certain that his house has become haunted. As we look at our little community today, we find the old fellows in their jot 'em down store and library. Lum is tiptoeing out of the feed room.
Say, Lum, are we plumb out of sorghum?
Not so loud, Abner. Little Ennard's just fell asleep.
Oh, who fell asleep?
Little Ennard.
Huh?
I've changed the baby's name to Ennard because you appeared to object to calling him Little Lum.
Well, I don't like that no better. I'll tell you that right now. You're still naming him after yourself.
No, not exactly.
There, too.
He's got it for a first name, and I've got it for a last name. There's a lot of difference there.
I don't see no difference. We're going to do that. Why don't we call him Little Peabody?
Tanner, let's not argue about it now. We'll figure out some way to get a name for him that'll be satisfactory to both of us.
Doggy, that's what I want to do.
Well, now, we're liable to wake him up arguing here. He fell asleep right during my speech.
What? Your speech?
Yeah.
Were you reading him one of your speeches?
Yeah, he seemed to like it, too. That is, till he went to sleep.
Well, no wonder he went to sleep if that's what you're doing. Even grown-up folks go to sleep during them speeches of yours.
Not this one, they won't. It's a new one. Just wrote.
A new one?
Yeah, I'm giving it at the meeting of the Pine Ridge for Victory Club tonight.
Oh, is that meeting tonight?
Yeah, and starting off that big salvage drive.
Well, I never knowed you making a speech at that long. What's he talking about?
It's about junk.
Junk?
Yeah.
Well, I know that's what all your speeches are about. It's the first time I ever heard you come right out flat-footed and admit it, though.
I don't mean that kind of junk.
I know what kind of junk there. I've heard them a million times before. Even as a small boy, I showed great promise of becoming a self-made man you see standing before you.
I ain't giving nothing tonight, Abner. I'm talking about scrap iron and old copper and brass and rags and all such as that. Things that government needs for the war.
Oh, that kind of junk, huh?
Yeah. Why don't you sit down there and play like you're the audience, and I'll run through my speech for you, see how you like it.
Well, I don't want to listen to it long.
Well, this is important, Sam. The government's starting this campaign for salvage goods all over the country.
Yeah, well, I know that. I'll give all the junk we got, but now I ain't going to listen to no speech here, or I'll tell you that right now, Long.
Well, you'll enjoy this, Abner. I got most of it out of some literature from the government. I sent for it several days ago.
Several days? Well, how long ago did the Pine Ridge for Victory Club ask you to make your speech?
Well, to be honest, they ain't actually asked me yet.
They ain't?
No, but I'm not sure they will.
Oh.
Well, I'm about the best out loud talker they can get around here, I believe. Besides, I'm the only fellow who's got all the information from the government.
Well, if they're going to ask you, they better hurry up and do it, hadn't they?
Well, don't worry, they will.
Who's head of the committee?
Sister Simpson.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of any committee she weren't the head of?
No, I reckon not. She generally the head of everything around here.
Here's how it starts out, Anna. Fellow citizens and members of the Pine Ridge for Victory Club, on this auspicious occasion...
Mom, I told you I don't want to hear.
I bring you a message of much importance.
Oh, my.
Tonight we are beginning a big drive to collect all the scrap we can.
Tribble.
And why are we doing this, fellow citizens?
Get in there with
to win the war. If we don't collect enough, we might find ourselves on the losing side. And so, fellow citizens, let's all put our shoulders to the wheel.
Huh.
And if the wheel's made of iron, turn it into the junk man or the salvage collection center. It's pretty good there, ain't it, Evan? That's part of that the wheel. Some of you folks sitting here before me tonight are more than likely wondering just how old rags and stoves and kettles and such as that can help win the war. Well, I'll tell you.
Long. That's our ring, I believe. You better answer.
Yeah, Blaine. Just when I was getting warmed up, too.
Can't bet
something
wrong, I'll say that.
Hello, John, I'm down store and library. Lum Ennard's talking.
Yeah, a thousand times.
Why, hello, Sister Simpson. See, what'd I tell you?
Uh-huh.
Mom? speech at the meeting tonight.
Speech.
Well, I don't know, Sister Simpson. This comes as quite a surprise to me.
Surprise? You've been planning on it for days.
Well, I'd love to, Sister Simpson, but there ain't much time left to get a speech ready.
Why, love, you got one rope there along with
you. Ma? Oh, yes, I'm for the campaign, but this is such short notice.
It's pretty.
I'll tell you what, you better give me a little time to think it over. Yes, Ma. Yeah, all right, Sister Simpson. Good night.
Well, for the land's sake, Mom, what's the matter with you? Here you've been planning on this, waiting for them to call you, and when they finally do call, you turn them down, hang up a receiver. I never seen you like this in my life.
I never turn them down.
How?
I'm going to make the speech, don't you worry. I'm just playing hard to get.
Hard to get?
Yeah, you see, this way, they figure I'm a busy, important fella, and so when they do finally manage to get me, they'll think my speech is a whole lot more important. And they'll listen to it better.
They will, huh?
Why, sure. Besides, they think I'm pretty smart to be able to think up a good speech like this in such a short time.
Dogan, I'll admit one thing. You sure use your head wrong.
Yeah, that's what you call psychology.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, let's see now. How far had I got?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Part about winning the war.
Some
of you folks sitting here before me this evening, more than right here.
I believe.
Sister Simpson, I'll bound you.
Keep calling back, huh?
You're starting to beg me to give the talk.
Good for you.
Yeah, you answer this time, Eva.
Yeah.
That'll make it look like I'm too busy to talk on the phone.
I'll get it. Hello, Jotham Down Store and Library. Isn't there anybody doing the talking? Who? Blindfolded Wildcat. Just a minute. Do you know anybody by the name of the Blindfolded Wildcat, Mom?
Oh, yeah. That's Cedric.
Cedric?
Oh, sure. That's what he calls himself since he joined up with Malfi and that detective agent.
Oh.
Don't you know? Don't you recollect him calling himself
that? Yeah, I know that. I'd heard that name somewhere and never know where it was.
Well, he had to get himself a fancy name because Malfi calls himself the Masked Muskrat.
Yeah. Hello, Cedric. What is it you want? Done detective work where?
Hang out there, man. This ain't nothing important.
Oh, my goodness. Went past the window. I know that's what it was all the time. I just noticed.
You know what?
Yeah, listen, Cedric, you come over the store as quick as you can, and we'll figure out what to do. Yeah, something like that. We'll talk it over with Mom. Yeah, all right, Cedric. Goodbye. Huh? Oh, yeah. Wonderful world. Goodbye. Huh? Oh, hi-ho, Blindfolded Wildcat.
What did he tell you?
He seen it, Mom. He seen it right in our upstairs window.
He seen what?
The ghost. I know that paper's haunted, Mom.
Oh, wait a minute, Edna. Don't get excited. Exactly what did Cedric see?
I'm telling you, Mom, he seen a ghost.
I told you there weren't no such thing as a ghost.
Well, he has done it for last night. Cedric was doing some detective work, and he seen a light on in an upstairs window over at my place. And so he watched, and finally he seen something dressed in a long white robe, just like a ghost walked past the window, and the light went out.
I do. Must have been his imagination.
It weren't either. He clearly seen it now. You can believe Cedric, you know, he don't get scared very easy, and he sounded like he's about half scared to death. That place is haunted now, I tell you. We've got to do something about it, Ron.
Well, yesterday you didn't want to do nothing about it. You're scared to go near the place.
All I know is I've changed my mind. We'll get Cedric and take some big clubs and go over there tonight and find out about it.
Well, we came tonight, Abner. The meeting's tonight.
All I know is we'll go tomorrow night, then.
All right. That's the deal. Tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Find out what that is.
Well, now listen to the rest of my speech.
Oh, yeah.
Fellow citizens, I'll show you how salvage goods can help win the war.
All right, Grandpa.
Well, hurry.
Come in, Grandpa.
You fellas hear about the big meeting tonight?
Why, sure we have. Say, you know what Cedric's seen? A ghost.
Yes, sir. Going to be a big meeting tonight. You know anything about this salvage campaign, Lum? More than anybody else in town, I reckon, Grandpa. If you and Abner will keep quiet for half a minute, I'll tell you all about it.
Well, good. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Grandpa, Cedric's seen a ghost over at my place.
Hey, Jeff, Abner. Fellow citizens, in modern warfare, battles is won by having more and better guns and tanks and airplanes than your enemy.
Our place is haunted, Grandpa.
Abner, will you be quiet?
Huh?
That's unpatriotic.
Go ahead.
We got inventors and scientifics and engineers that can study up how to build better equipment than our enemy can. That takes care of getting better guns and tanks and airplanes, but getting more of them is up to you and me. Us citizens have got to collect scrap to help make all that equipment for our soldiers and sailors and Marines.
That sounds great, Ron. But it ain't true, is it? The government can't actually make stuff out of old iron and kettles and such as that, can they?
Why, of course they can. Listen to this. Half of every tank, gun, destroyer, and merchant ship is made out of scrap iron. Think of that, Granddad. One half, 50%.
Well, I do know.
That means us citizens has got to dig up that 50% of scrap iron, or the factories making them things can't keep going.
They can't.
No, sir. And that's just one item.
Huh.
The government needs old copper and brass and zinc and lead and rope and burlap bags.
Well,
just listen to what I got wrote down here.
Huh.
One copper kettle will make 84 rounds of ammunition for an automatic rifle.
For the own sake.
One washing and ironing machine will make a 37-millimeter tank gun.
Huh.
One lawnmower will make 6 3-inch shells.
Now, how can a lawnmower do that? All I ever seen them do is just cut grass.
Well, I don't mean it that way, Abner. I mean, they take the metal out of the lawnmower and melt it up and use it for the shell.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't think a lawnmower was smart enough.
Just a minute, Ron. Have you got all that stuff wrote down? Of course I have.
Well, good. I'll just take that along and use it in my speech. In your speech?
Yeah, Sister Simpson asked me to give a talk at the victory meeting tonight.
Huh?
She said they had somebody else for it, but he was too slow and couldn't get a speech ready in time.